Let's welcome you back to This Week in the Association. I'm joined once again by my good buddy Kevin Lucco, who is on the verge of about to see his longtime team win the championship there as St. Paul pulls out a huge 3-2 victory tonight. Kevin, I know you're going to be a little apprehensive, but you got to be at least a little bit excited right now.
A little bit, but, you know, I fought as 54 in 2011. Granted, it was sixth round where St. Paul had the first two games at home. We went up 2-0, and in the parking lot after the game, we're talking about, well, geez, what are they going to do for celebrations? And all that celebration never happened as they went to Grand Prairie and lost both. So, yeah, until you win that third game, it's still a series.
Well, this was a really exciting game tonight. It was kind of a tale of two games, if you really got down to it. So we'll pick it up in the bottom of the first inning. Eddie Medina started tonight for St. Paul. He has been outstanding against Sioux City this season, but has struggled a little bit over the last 3 or 4 weeks of the season. But tonight got off to a kind of a rough start. Retires Kyle Wren to begin the game, or begin the bottom of the first, excuse me. Then gives up a opposite field homer by Drew Stankiewicz, giving Sioux City a 1-0 lead. You know, Sioux City, you had to believe, was thinking, we got to get on top in this game, and that was really what the doctor ordered for them, Kevin.
Right, right. They had to establish their home field presence, and they did so with the second batter. But, you know, if you're going to give up a homer, it's best for Medina to make sure there's nobody on base.
In the bottom of the second, Sioux City's able to extend the lead to 2. Jose Sermo leads off the inning with a home run to almost the same spot that Stankiewicz had hit his. Yeah, you know, Kevin, I was kind of watching this. I was thinking, I didn't think Eddie was making bad pitches. They just hit the ball well.
Yeah, we shouldn't be surprised by that. Sioux City's a very good hitting ball club. And frankly, like I said, I'm more encouraged to see them hitting a solo home run as opposed to some of Medina's starts later in the year where he was walking guys and then giving up the long ball. So, you know, as a Saints fan, I guess you take it.
Well, after giving up the 2 home runs early in the game, Eddie Medina settles down. In the fourth, Sioux City had a great opportunity to blow this game open. After he strikes out the leadoff batter to start the inning, he gives up back-to-back singles to Dexter McCall and Dylan Kelly, then walks Sebastian Zawada. And this was a great opportunity for Sioux City to just really take command of this game. But as they had done the previous night, kind of squandered the bases-loaded situation as Medina gets back and fires away, blowing away Adam Sasser, then blowing away Kyle Wren to end the threat. I know we've come to see Eddie Medina as a guy who's cool under pressure, gets the big outs, but I'm not sure if this was more of just Sioux City not really producing in a spot or just Eddie Medina having a great moment in the series.
Well, I'd say it's a little both. You got to look at it for Medina. You know, 2 years ago, he was part of the, or was back it up 3 years, where in 2016, he was part of a Wingnuts team that lost to Winnipeg, when Winnipeg, in the eyes of many, had pretty much got to load up on Joplin players. And 2017 was a controversial block call. I went against Medina's team, and then last year Medina had a watch as the Saints lost in 4 games. So, you know, it's, you got to imagine that there was a lot of drumming going with Eddie tonight.
Yeah, no doubt he's clamoring to win that, finally get a championship, go out there and celebrate one of those. But I just huge, and I thought just Sioux City, you just have to score in this situation. I mean, you just absolutely have to. And you know, especially with just one out, Kevin, this is the part that is just kind of surprising me now, is that there is just no clutch hitting in that Explorers lineup right now.
No, it's surprising because it's a very good hitting ball club, and in that ballpark, they do score a lot of runs. So, yeah, it's been the stunning development of the series thus far.
Well, that proved to be huge. Pete Togo had started out extremely well for Sioux City, had blanked the Saints through the first 4 innings, giving up a hit in the first and in the fourth, and a walk in the second as the only base runners against him. He also was having a lot of success striking out batters, striking out 2 in the first, 2 in the second, and 2 in the fourth, and looked like he was in complete command of this game. But in the top of the fifth, the Saints are able to rally against him a little bit and get themselves tied in this ballgame here. So it begins with Chesney Young walking to start the frame. He moves to second on a wild pitch and scores on a Chris Baker single up the middle. A ground out moves Baker to second, and he comes around to score when Michael Lang drills a double down the right field line. That ties the score at two. And what started there with Chris Baker, Kevin? A guy who was 1-for-13 to start out the North Division Championship Series, then hits the big home run, and then has just been a complete thorn in the side of the Sioux City Explorers.
Right, he hasn't had many hits in the playoffs thus far, but when he's had them, he's made them count. And like you said, that bottom of the order needs to produce, and Baker comes through with a big hit.
Lang having the big double against his former team. You know, you almost feel like he knows exactly what he wants to do in this ballpark. So it was like, okay, I want to go down the right field line and kind of follow with the pitch right here. And it was just a great piece of hitting at the plate for him.
Right, Dan. Yeah, as the story gets written out of some St. Paul can somehow win it, it's going to be any kind of poetic justice for Michael Lang, especially if you know, if this is it for him. I know he teased retirement after last year. Who knows what he's thinking if he's, I don't know, if playing in St. Paul has made him want to continue his career any further, but no, this are his last games. He's making them count.
The one thing that kind of leapt out at me, Kevin, was something you alluded to when the series began, is that Sioux City could not afford to allow St. Paul to battle back in games. They had to take care of business and keep those leads, and we just didn't see that happen tonight.
No, we didn't. Obviously, as we've seen from the last 4-plus games, you know, St. Paul is a very resilient team. Sioux City just never put them away.
The Explorers had an opportunity to take the lead in the bottom of the seventh inning. Medina returns for that inning and walks the leadoff batter, Kyle Wren. He's pulled from the ballgame. Ken Frosch is able to strike out Drew Stankiewicz, but not before a wild pitch moves Wren into second. That brings Nate Sampson to the plate, who draws a walk. Jeremy Hazelbaker then strikes out. That ends the night for Ken Frosch and brings on Karch Kowalczyk. Here's going to be a thing I think a lot of people are going to be talking about for a little while, Kevin. With Jose Sermo at the plate, the Explorers opt to go for the double steal, putting second and third and two down, which the logical thing to do at that point would be to walk Jose Sermo, which is exactly what happened. Even kind of at the time that it happened, I thought, well, that seemed kind of a silly thing to risk Sermo being walked, and that's exactly what they wound up doing. Kind of a silly move, I thought, Kevin.
Well, yeah, it's a second-guesser's dream if the batter after him goes up and gets a single, and now you've knocked in two runs instead of one.
That brings up Dexter McCall, who hits a ball that looks like it's going to go in between the gap between first and second, but Josh Allen makes an absolutely spectacular play to smother the ball and throw out McCall at the at first. And again, bases loaded, two down, Sioux City comes up empty.
Right, and remember my thing about the old pendulum at bats. That was your pendulum at bat, right there.
You aren't kidding about that.
We gotta make that into a T-shirt.
Absolutely. In the bottom of the eighth, Sioux City has one more opportunity to kind of get things going here, but a kind of a silly base running mistake cost him there. Sasser leads off with a single. Gets a single with two down. And a wild pitch moves him to second. Kyle Wren follows with a base hit into right field. And it's hit kind of shallow, so Sasser doesn't really have the opportunity to score. But Wren decides to move on his way to second when he thinks that, I guess, the throw is going to come all the way into home plate. But he's thrown out at second, and the inning is ended one more time. And I thought, wow, it just seemed nothing was going the Explorers way, Kevin.
No, I mean, man. You know, it's Wren just trying to make something happen, and his aggressiveness just got the best of him.
I mean, you talked about this in Game 1 with Michael Lang about you can't fault the guy for trying for an opportunity to make something happen for his team. It's just, wow, that was such a key moment in the game. It's late, and you just wonder if that's even a risk at that point to take, to go out after and try to get into scoring position when the play is still right in front of you for the catcher. So, you know, if it gets through, he's watching second base the entire way. And I just thought that was kind of a risk that I think Wren is going back tonight going, wow, I should have never thought that. I should have never even considered doing that.
We don't know, though, was Wren assuming there was going to be a play at the plate and thinking that throw was going to go through. If he gets trapped between first and second, he'd rather sacrifice the out for the run if the catcher comes out and cuts the ball off. So, a lot of baseball stuff to think about there, huh?
Absolutely. Could have been, he could have had the play of the game if that winds up scoring a run. So you can't, I guess you have a good point right there, Kevin. You know, the pendulum.
I'm just thinking that if that ball goes sailing in the center field, try to throw him out the second, runs in.
Yeah, that's true. The aggressive play could have turned into something. Unfortunately for him, it didn't. So that was kind of sad for him for sure. In the top of the ninth, though, the St. Paul Saints were able to take their first lead of the game. Chris Baker is hit by a pitch to start the inning. He moves to second on a sacrifice, and after Dan Modell strikes out, there comes up Lang, doubles down the line in left field. Baker easily comes around to score. St. Paul has a 3-2 lead. You talked about the redemption for Michael Lang. Boy, this guy is just looking for big moments to come up with big hits.
You know, I was watching a little bit of the last series between Kansas City and Sioux City. And when Jeremy Hazel Baker came out the bat, I guess somebody yelled up towards the press box about, oh, maybe they should trade him too. So I think the people in Sioux City are still pretty bitter about the Lang take of St. Paul, and boy, this does not help erase their doubt whatsoever.
You know, and I've never really kind of understood this move. Steve Montgomery talked about that Michael Lang was going to be traded away before he had even brought in Hazel Baker, and it wasn't like, according to him, there wasn't any bad blood or anything like that. I guess Lang was just looking for a change of scenery or something. You know, I don't think this guy has ever presented himself as a problem child in any dugout. He seems like he's the perfect teammate. So I guess a lot of people are still kind of scratching their head about why he was even traded in the first place.
No, you know, the MLB player Lang reminds me of is Hunter Pence. Nothing that Lang really does looks textbook. The way he runs, the way he catches the ball, the way he hits, but he gets results, and wow, the results have been there in the playoffs thus far for Lang.
And at the bottom of the ninth, Tanner Keese comes on for the St. Paul Saints looking to close out the game. Stankiewicz walks to start the inning, but he's erased on a double play. The third double play the Explorers hit into that night. And interestingly enough, it was the third double play where a guy had let off the inning by reaching base and the next hitter hit into a double play. It was just like, man, everything is going wrong for this team. After Jeremy Hazelbaker walks, that brings Jose Saramo to the plate, who gets ahead 2-1 before striking out to end the game. And the Sioux City Explorers are just one game away from being eliminated, Kevin.
Isn't that crazy? The thing that's been talked about is that the Saints don't really turn a lot of double plays. I know they turned a really big double play to clinch a playoff spot on the last Friday night of the season against Fargo. But here today in the postseason, a team that doesn't turn a lot of double plays turns some big ones.
Michael Lang finishes 2-for-5 with 2 doubles and 2 RBI. Chris Baker is 1-for-3 with 2 runs scored and an RBI. Karsh Kowalczyk earns the victory with 1 1/3 innings of scoreless relief. And Tanner Keese comes on to earn his first save of the championship series. Saturday night, the series shifts to St. Paul. Taylor Jordan, who finished 6-10 during the regular season, will start for the Sioux City Explorers. Ryan Zimmerman goes for the St. Paul Saints. You know, Kevin, there's a lot of things you could look at here and go, here's what Sioux City needs to do to at least earn a victory, okay? But I think right now what you just got to look at is just getting somebody to do something clutch. Right now, I think, is where they got to start.
Right. It's, it's got to be everybody. You can't just rely on a Thermo Samson or Hazel Baker right now. It's got to be guys up and down the lineup producing. Otherwise, it could be a short series.
You know, it's interesting, Kevin, because I look at this. These are two very similar lineups in this particular respect. It's a very top-notch 1-6. And then there's a lot, the bottom half is usually, bottom third, excuse me, is usually considered kind of the weak link of this team. St. Paul's bottom third has been outstanding right now. That can't really be said about the bottom third for Sioux City, and I think that's one of the major differences in this series.
Well, I always thought that was, you know, even at the beginning, end of the season, into the playoffs, I kind of thought that Sioux City was awfully soft at the bottom of the order, and that's rearing its head in the series.
Absolutely, and it's continued to be that way. I think that a guy like Adam Sasser or Sebastian Zawada is going to have to come up with a huge hit in Game 3 for this team to stay alive. But the question is, Kevin, are you going to be celebrating a championship Saturday night with the St. Paul Saints?
I have absolutely no idea. I really don't have a good read on this. I can see the game going either way.
Well, it should be interesting to see. Is there any other news going around the American Association today, Kevin? I'm sorry, I hadn't really done a thorough check before we started tonight's show, so I don't think there was any big news, if I remember correctly. Oh, the Kansas City T-Bone news. Why don't you give us that, Kevin?
Yes. Came out this afternoon in a press release by the American Association that the deadline for the T-Bone to leave T-Bone Stadium has been extended by a month as $50,000 was paid towards the unified government as a gesture to let them know that they are serious about getting a sale done. The press release said that the payment was made by the T-Bones and the American Association. An inside source of knowledge says that actually should have said the T-Bones made the payment. There was no help from anybody else.
So one of those things where they're trying to even make the T-Bone's efforts to resolve this matter look like somebody else was really trying to resolve the matter. So it doesn't surprise me the media try to skew that somehow or another.
Well, it was actually in the American Association press release. They just kind of worded it wrong.
Is that the deal? Okay.
Right.
That's the deal. Okay, interesting.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's
just a mistake in whoever wrote the story. There's no hidden agenda behind it.
I think that's a good sign, though, that that they wanted that extension and were willing to pay towards it. Must mean that they're hopefully close to getting a deal signed with somebody to sell the team. So I hope that's a good sign.
Right. You know, it sounds like the Ellers all of a sudden won $50,000 in the lottery and said, "Well, hey, we could plop that down." You know, it obviously means that there is something in the hopper and that we'll be seeing news of a sale more sooner than later.
Well, that would be outstanding news because the last thing we want to see is, the team that's a year away from removed from being the champions out on their ear. So let's hope winds up being resolved. That would be awesome. I think that is it for news around the league right now. Kevin, do we know about champions around any other of the independent leagues? Are they all?
You know, I did not look to see who won the New Jersey Sussex County game 2 or 3. So sorry, we don't have that for you folks.
Well, we'll have to report on that on Saturday night. I'll look into there and see what's going on. But Kevin, before we head out for tonight, any final thoughts?
Oh, just a stunning development, I think, in the first two games that St. Paul just kind of said, so what if we had the bus drive overnight? So what if we didn't have a day off? They just went into Sioux City and took care of business. And I just think for St. Paul's part, they just don't rest on it. Just, you got to go for the juggler. You got to look at game 3 like it's a game 5 and go out and get it in. Don't give the Explorers a sniff because, as we saw in round 1, Sioux City went into Kansas City and took the two games there to win the series. So they're very capable of winning on the road.
And this is a team that won 3 straight against Kansas City and has won 10 games in a row this season. So, you know, they're a team that can put together a win streak when they really, you know, get things going their way. We will be back Saturday night, barring any kind of rain delay. So if Saturday night's game goes off, Kevin and I will be coming to you immediately after that contest. So for Kevin Lucco, I am Rob Panier, and we will see you Saturday night on This Week in the Association.